Hey, this is Frankie Iovino. You're listening to Mike Miller, my friend on the Harmony Street Show.
It's Johnny Mathis, and you're listening to my good friend Mike Miller on the Harmony Street Show.
Hi, this is Herb Cox of the Cleftones, and you're listening to my good buddy Mike Miller on the Harmony Street Show.
Hi, this is Mary Wilson of the Supremes, and you're listening to my friend Mike Miller on the Harmony Street Show. And we just have so much fun, my baby love, me and Mike Miller. Woo!
Hi, this is Terry Stewart, CEO of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland, Ohio. And you're listening to my good friend Mike Miller on one of my favorite shows, the Harmony Street Show.
Hi, this is Mike Miller, and you're here with me on the Harmony Street Show, and it's my pleasure to have as a guest on my show a friend of mine for many, many years, an icon in the doo-wop genre, the original founding member of the Five Boroughs, Mr. Frank Iovino. Hiya, Frank.
How you doing, Mike? How's it going, guys?
I'm doing great. We go back a long, long way. And,
yes, we do.
You know, I remember the first time I called you, and I guess we spent about 4 hours on the phone. I was in Connecticut and you were in Florida, and it was a long conversation, and we realized how many things we had in common and how many people we touched together. And then I remember when I used to come down to visit my parents, I used to pop over to your house and you were having a rehearsal for the Five Boroughs. And then at that moment, I had realized that there were more than five boroughs.
Yes, much more.
And so I used to walk in. As a matter of fact, our mutual friend, rest in peace, Tony Georgie, one of the funniest guys I ever met in my life.
Yes.
used to come over to, and it was great because there were about, you know, 15 or 18 guys, three first tenors, five second tenors, two guys singing baritone, and then they would sing two tunes, run outside and cop a smoke, come in and sing five more tunes. And those were great days because it was balmy and it was humid and it was Florida. And it was, that was a treat for me because I was doing the Florida thing.
It was always, you know, when we first started the Burroughs, it was really like a pizza and a beer type thing. You know,
right.
We just got together. Matter of fact, we all got together in a recording studio on Johnson Street in Hollywood, and there was about 18 to 25 of us that
right.
would come every Tuesday night. It was like pizza and beer and just hanging out and having fun and everything mushroom. And then when Tony used to come down, Tony was a great, great guy. I really, really missed that guy. He was a lot of fun. And, you know, we all hung out. And that was the intent of the Five Boroughs. Actually, the intent was never the same, beyond this week.
I hear you. It was just to hang out and appreciate the music. And well, you know, the camaraderie of guys that get together and sing tight harmony together, it's almost a spiritual situation, you know, and you get to love these guys like you love your family.
Very true.
You know,
very true.
They become part of you. And because, and someone who has never experienced singing tight harmony and having that experience, like people say, hey, you know what? It's like, you're getting old, man. Why don't you hang it up? I mean, you still need to get up there and shake your ass and sing. Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's like, my breath, you know?
It was 1958 for me.
Right.
And 1958, I didn't even know I can sing.
Uh-huh.
And I bought my first record, I'll Be Home by the Flamingos.
Right.
In 78.
Right.
I went home, I put it on, I hate to say, the Victrola.
Right.
And I played it, and all of a sudden it was like, wow, you know, and I wasn't singing, I was, you know, just listening, and then all of a sudden I started to sing along with the song.
I'll be home my time. Please wait there for me. We'll stroll along together. Once more, love will be free.
And as I'm singing along with it, I'm saying to myself, what am I doing? You know, I have no idea what I'm doing.
Right.
And my friend next door, Frankie, another Frankie, comes over. And, you know, back then in Brooklyn, your doors are open, your windows are open.
Right, your keys are in your car, you know.
Nobody knocked on the door.
They right.
Then, and Frankie walks into the house and goes, and I'm 14 years old, you know, and he goes, what are you doing? And I says, I don't know. I'm just like singing along with this song. He goes, oh, you sing? Now, I hung out with this kid, you know, for 14 years.
Right.
And I'm going, Frankie, did you ever see me sing? No, I'm just like, hey, he goes, come on, let's go down to the park.
Wow.
So we go down to Liberty Park, and I originally came from East New York, Brooklyn.
Right.
We go down to Liberty Park, and there's a bunch of guys. And I remember the guys, Vinny Nizzo, Frankie Abbracciamento.
Right.
Snooky Ritzler, my friend Frankie Fiella.
You couldn't make these names up.
No. And there's myself. And they're going, one says to Frankie, what'd you bring him here? He goes, oh, he sings.
Uh-huh.
And I go, you sing? And he goes, yeah. And he goes, sing the song you were just singing.
Right.
And I only knew one song, so I sang I'll Be Home. And
right.
Like, okay, you're in the group. What the hell am I doing here? What's the name of the group? And the first group was called the Bel Airs.
Uh-huh.
And then all of a sudden it's like, I'm in a group. I don't know why. I have no idea.
Uh-huh.
But I know I'm jumping. But to answer your thing about us being back on stage.
Right.
It was a thrill in 1958. This is 2013. It's still a thrill for me.
Right. Absolutely. You know.
You're never going to leave us, Mikey. You can't.
Right. Well, you know, you answered my next question, which was, you know, how did you get started? And, well, let me ask you this. You told me that you bought a Flamingos record. Now, I remember being a little kid, and I remember my father having fights with my father when he would put us into the 58 Chevy and drive us up the Taconic every Sunday, and he'd be listening to his white MOR station, and I would be saying to him, could you get me WWRL? Because I, my mother, when I was a little kid, put a little Motorola transistor in my either crib or my little youth bed or whatever. And I found all by myself with my ear, the R&B stations. And I got a kick out of listening to the R&B tunes. When I was about 9 or 10, I knew the words to Daddy's Home, and I knew the words to all the Harp Tones tunes. And I don't know why I knew them, but I knew them, and that's and I found it all by myself. So I knew that it was something that was going to be with me, you know, forever, because I would make him turn off the Kalin twins, you know, in the car, and I would be looking for the group harmony.
Well, the joke is with me. My mother and father, when we had the railroad rooms, and when you walked in, as soon as you walked in, you came into the dining room.
Right.
And right, and when the door opened, right behind the door was one of those big 3-foot radios.
Uh-huh.
And I was like probably 13 years old, and I would come home from school, and I was thumbing through these stations, you know. We didn't have money. I didn't have no transistor radio. I didn't have
right.
none of that. But there was a radio right in the dining room.
Right.
And I'm thumbing through. And in the afternoon was the black DJs.
Right.
And there was Hal Jackson.
Oh, yeah.
There was Dr. Jive.
If you're feeling kind of low and your pulse is beating slow and you want to to Dr. Jive. If you want to cure your ills without medicine or pills, here's a treatment that won't cost five. Listen to Dr. Jive. He's the doctor with the beat, puts the rhythm in your feet, and rhythm in the feet supplies the heat. Keeps you healthy and looking sweet. You will thrive and you'll survive till your old age checks arrive. So look ahead and look alive. Listen to Dr. Jive.
And these guys had like 15-minute shows. That was it.
Right.
And I was allowed to, well, I can lie on the floor. You have to picture this 13-year-old kid lying on the floor.
Right.
With my head between the door and the radio.
Right.
And turning the volume on and then as low as it can be and putting my ear on the side of the radio. And that's how I was allowed to listen to radio.
Wow.
And I picked up Hal Jackson, Dr. Jive.
Wow.
And just, I was, you know, naturally I'm white Italian, you know.
Right.
I don't know nothing about black harmony. I have no
right.
idea. It wasn't in the neighborhood. East New York, Brooklyn, when I lived, was 80% Italian and 20% Jewish.
Right.
There was no black people there. So I wasn't brought up with this black music. And I'm sitting there, well, I'm lying there going, how does that sound of blow? Well, I didn't know it was blow harmony.
Right.
But how does that sound come out?
Right.
And then when I, you know, I hit 14 and I started to get into this and emulate
right.
the blacks and find out, oh, okay, that's blow harmony. It's
that,
you
right.
know, it doesn't come out of your nose and blah, 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 blah,
that's
blah,
right.
blah, blah, blah. And it's just, I got started. I mean, I got hooked, and I didn't know what the hell to do. But,
you know, and pretty much either you got a feel for it or you don't.
Oh, without a doubt.
I mean, you know,
how many guys have you sang with, or how many guys have you known? And you know, you try to tell them, start singing through your nose, and
right.
they look at you like, "What are you talking about?"
Right, well, right. No, I know.
You want to sound like Dion the Belmonts, or do you want to sound like the Flamingos?
Right.
Tell me what you want.
No, I know. Well, you know, it's funny you mentioned Hal Jackson. many years ago, we did a show at Rye Playland with Harmony Street, and Don K. Reed was there, and Brucey was there. And I was behind, I don't remember who was on, but Anthony was there, Ryan Spector was there, Lou Christie was there. But I said to Don K. Reed, I said, isn't that Hal Jackson sitting about two rows back? Because, you know, at Rye Playland, they had like 15,000 people all the way, going all the way back to the entrance. But around the front, and it's Hal Jackson. So he says, oh my God, we got to get him back here. And he was there with his daughter. And, you know, they hugged and they kissed and whatever. And then Don told me a story. And he said, when I was a kid, we took a field trip. We went up to the studios where Hal Jackson was. And he actually came out in the hallway and talked to me, he said, when I was a kid. And he was the one that inspired me to become a DJ. He said, from that time on, I knew I wanted to be a DJ.
That was cool.
We took a picture, the three of us, me, Hal Jackson, and Don. And recently, because when I interviewed Don, he said to me, do you still have that picture, you know, that you took? I said, yeah. He said, because he was really my mentor. And at that time, Hal was sick, all right? It was about a year or two ago. And he said to me, could you send me the picture? So I put it in a frame. I copied it like really, you know, 4 zillion DPIs, and I cropped it and everything, and I put it in a nice frame, and I sent it to him. He says, I got it on my mantle, man. He says, you don't know what that guy means to me. And I said, wow, I never knew that. You know, it's amazing how many people Hal Jackson touched.
You're listening to great music on my good friend Mike Miller's Harmony Street Show. Oh, by the way, this is Don K. Reed. Remember from the Duop Shop?
Interesting.
He touched a lot of people. I know he touched me. That's for damn sure. And Dr. Jive. Right after that, and I was like, wow, where is this coming from? And what, you know, I mean, I hated to say it this way, but, you know, I don't want to hear a white singer again.
No. I hear what you mean. Another thing that rings true with that is, you know, I was a dean in the Bronx for all those years, for 30 years, and I was at Castle Hill Junior High School in the Bronx, and two of my kids were Jimmy Jr. Keys and Paul Keys, and they were both pretty, you know, rotten kids. And Jimmy Keys was in my office like on a regular basis. And I used to get him to come to career day, and he used to tell the whole story about how the black groups in those days died on the R&B charts, the white groups covered their records.
Right.
And, you know, and as it was, let's fast forward all these years, he died pretty much penniless. You know, I got him on the doo-wop shop. I called Don and I said, how'd you like to have the chords on? And he says, where are they? And I said, the guy was just in my office. Jimmy Keys was just in my office. He says, get him on. You know, it was funny. I was going to take him up to Johnny B, John Bunnell in Waterbury, and do an interview. And he died like a week before I was supposed to go pick him up. So, you know, but getting back to that whole black-white thing, you know, the black groups, you know, here's a guy that co-wrote one of the greatest crossover tunes, R&B crossover tune, and he really doesn't get the credit for it, nor do a lot of them, you know?
No, they didn't. They really didn't. You know. And you know, one of the biggest things I found in today,
right?
And you know, I backed up a lot of the singers of the past, and one of my best friends became Rudy West of the Five Keys.
Wow, yeah.
Out of sight, out of mind, so the story goes, you forgot I exist, my broken heart knows.
And Rudy, we were in my house. I had him over here, and we're just sitting, you know, hanging out. And he was very serious. He looked at me. He goes, you know, I've been singing for so many years, and I've sang so many songs, and
right.
I've recorded so much stuff, he says. And you know the biggest thing that is a letdown for me? And I says, no, Rudy, what? He says, we come to Florida, and I thank you for bringing me here, so on and so forth.
Right.
He says, and I go into the audience, and there's no black people.
Oh, wow.
And my own people don't back us. We're old. We're not hip-hop. We're not,
right,
you know.
Right. Well, you know, it depends on where in Florida. Well, you know, the baby boomers in what I call, you know, the sixth borough is Boca, Margate, Lauderdale. You know, that's like the sixth borough. And the baby boomers, man, they're crying for their music. They're starving for their music. And, you know, it's disappearing on terrestrial radio. The DJ personalities are going away, you know.
Yes, I know. And thank God that the Internet is keeping everything going, you know.
Absolutely. That's what people are going to find. That at first, they were a little cranky about it. A lot of baby boomers are either afraid of the Internet
or right.
They don't. But it's amazing how it's growing. I just spoke to Warren of the Belmonts today, and my show runs on Belmont Internet. He says, man, Mike, he says, I can't believe it. You got so many listeners. He said, last week on you got more listeners on your show than Don had on his show. I said, wow. He said, it's just that people are craving this kind of stuff. And I do something different. I do in-depth interviews, and I get a lot of these upper echelon stars to purge, sort of like colonoscopies, and they tell me stuff that they usually don't tell once they get rolling.
Right.
You know, and it's once they get comfortable, you know, it's interesting. So let's get back to Frank. So the first group was the Bel Airs, and that was on the corner, huh?
That was definitely in Liberty Park,
right,
in East New York, Brooklyn. That was 1958, and we there was about six of us, and then I took Vinnie Nolo's place. He thought he was a first tenor, but he wasn't. And back then, I had a high voice. I had a falsetto.
I hear you.
And so I took his place, and we went in the studio, Bell Sound, and we recorded a demo, a cappella.
Right.
And we went in and we sang I'll Never Tell by the Harp Tones.
Are you wrong?
Gonzales Cedar of the Hop Tone, and you're listening to my good friend Mike Miller on the Harmony Street Show.
And a cover version of Sitting on Top of the World.
Right.
And, you know, we're 15 years old. We went back to the neighborhood and we're walking around like, wow. You know?
Right. Well, Bell Sound is not small potatoes either.
Right. So, exactly. You know. You know? And I remember back then, it was $25 for the hour.
Wow.
And you got, and there's only four of us in the Bel Airs at
right.
the time. It was Frankie Faiella.
Right.
Snooky Ritzel was our lead. Louis Bonavita and myself, uh-huh. Frankie
right.
Iovino.
Gotcha.
And for $25, we got four demos, Steel Jackets, and an hour.
You better know your stuff when you walk in there because, you know, an hour goes by fast and $25 was a lot of money then.
Well, we were singing our songs for like, you know, every day because
right.
I know like you, Mike, and myself.
Right.
When we put the groups together, we lived outside.
You sang every day. You sang every day.
Day and night and, you know, we didn't go home.
Right.
Under the street light, as they say, the whole ball of wax. So we knew the songs, but the... trying to get $25 between four guys was like pulling teeth.
Right.
In 1958, that money wasn't available, believe me.
Right.
And then after that, we stood as the four guys, but a funny story came out. You know, the Al Brown Orchestra.
Okay.
And somebody in the neighborhood, don't ask, I can't remember who it was, knew somebody that knew Al Brown.
Uh-huh.
But he knew a kid in Canarsie. And the kid was going under the name of Johnny Apollo. You know, like a Brian Hyland, you know? He was a good-looking kid, but his voice wasn't right there.
Right.
But for some reason, don't ask me how, he wound up getting on a show with Al Brown.
Uh-huh.
Because there was a favor owed. So we don't know what's going on. And the next thing we know, we rehearsing with this kid. And the songs were like, you know, like a Venus type thing, you know.
Right.
And we're just like doing it, going through the motions. Make a long story short, the night of the rock and roll show, where the Bell is.
Right.
And we went to DeVega.
Right.
And we bought the Old English Bees.
Uh-huh.
And put them on our sweaters.
Uh-huh.
And then all of a sudden... two of the guys, this is a week before the show, don't ask me why, but we get into an argument and they don't like the Bel Airs. I says, I just bought the insignia. They go, well, you know, we don't like the Bel Airs. I says, what do you guys want? So somebody says, we want to be the Continentals.
Uh-huh.
Now, we don't know nothing about the Continentals. I says, okay, so we go back to DeVega, we buy Old English C's.
Uh-huh.
Our mothers put them on our sweaters, and we got gray sweaters, black pants, and white Old English C's.
Now, you had to be from New York to know what DeVega's was, man. You know?
Right. DeVega's was a sporting goods store.
You bet it was.
Or VIM, V-I-M.
Right.
So we went to the sporting goods store. So now, the night of the rock and roll show, it's at Prospect Hall in Prospect Park.
Right.
And we're only 16 years old, but Teddy Bentz was his name. He was a friend of ours. He just turned 18, and he bought a car, a brand new car.
Okay.
And we go down in his car, and he drives us to the rock and roll show. Now, we get there. It's Al Brown's 21-piece orchestra. We're only 16 years old.
Wow. I mean,
we're in heaven.
You bet.
And we don't know who the acts are. We don't know what's on the lineup. We
right.
have no idea what's going on. We're behind the stage, and there was a stairway going up, and the four of us, when we sang, we always wore a little bottle of Chivas Regal.
Okay.
We'd open it up and toast, you know.
Right.
And as soon as we opened up that cap, there had to be 25 guys coming up the stairs.
I figured you toasted for about an hour, you know.
And all of a sudden, we're going, who are you?
Uh-huh.
And it's the Hop Tones.
Get out.
The Cadillacs.
Speedo.
The Drifters.
Wow.
Hi, this is Earl Speedo Carroll of the Cadillacs. And you're listening to my good friend, Mike Miller, on the Harmony Street Show.
We're on a major show with all black groups. We're the only white act.
Who knew?
And I'm going, what the hell? And all of a sudden... now we're sharing the bottle with everybody, taking sips and talking.
Can't be bad.
All of a sudden, the last guys come up and they go, what's your name? We go to Continentals. And it was Danny Hicks from the Continentals. He goes, we're the Continentals. And I went, uh-oh. So we got out our pen knives, ripped out ripped off the seas. I ran down to Al Brown because he still never knew what we were going to be called. Because
right.
He says to me, right before you come out in the curtains, you just tell me the name of the group. Because we didn't know what the hell we wanted to do.
Right.
And we're going, what are we going to call ourselves? And Frankie says, you know, we just drove in Teddy's new car. He says, big deal. What is it? Starfire.
Uh-huh.
So we became the Starfires.
Uh-huh.
I went to Al Brown and says, okay, we're the Starfires. We go out on stage and we go back up the kid. The audience is probably about, 40% black, 40% Spanish, and about 20% white.
Okay.
We come out on the stage and we're singing this white neo song.
Uh-huh.
And the next thing we're getting pelted.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
With popcorn and remember the old plastic cups and
sure,
stuff?
Sure.
So we sing the two songs and we get off.
Right.
And now I'm nervous. We go back out and... But we opened up with Down the Road by the Cadillacs.
Uh-huh.
And then all of a sudden, now the audience accepted us.
Now you're home.
Well, I'm leaving, baby. I'm going far away. I'm leaving, baby. I'm gonna wait to stay by my baby. Down the road I go. Well, now if you want me, you better tell me now. I'm gonna leave you. Oh yeah, say to y'all bye bye, baby. Down the road I go. I guess I'll always love you. I will. The stars will pass their glow. Oh, down, down, baby. Oh, down the road I go, leaving you, baby. Ain't coming back no more, bye, bye, baby. Down the road I go.
I love you, yes I do. I need you, oh yes I do. I have to go, I really have to go. I'm going down the road.
Well, down, down, baby. Oh, down the road I go, leaving you, baby. Ain't coming back no more, bye, bye, baby. Down the road I go.
Right.
So now we became the Starfires.
Cool.
And then we went back home. We says, okay, now we got to do something. So now we're singing on the street corner again. And there's a woman that we know. We know her daughter. The daughter comes downstairs from the garden apartment and says, my mother's boyfriend's upstairs and he wants to talk to you.
Mm.
And I said, what does he want? He goes, well, he's listening to your guys sing.
Uh-huh.
I said, okay. So we walk upstairs and his name was Steel Oliveri.
Uh-huh.
And I says, what's the deal? He goes, I want to record you guys. And I says, who are you? He said, well, I own, part owner of ODO Recording Studios,
uh-huh.
which was Oliveri, Odo, and I can remember, I think, right. Oliphant or something.
Gotcha.
And they were like on 57th, I believe. They were next to the Jackie Gleason Theater.
Right.
So now we're 16 years old, and we go walk into the studio. There's a five-piece band, drums, guitar, bass, piano, sax, elderly men, you know, studio musicians.
Right.
And I had wrote a song called I'm in Love,
right.
and we were going to do the cover of Down the Road by the Cadillacs.
Right.
We don't know nothing. We have no idea what's going on.
Right.
And the guy says to us, sing the song. They made us sing each song about five times. And one of the gentlemen, the piano player, says, I don't understand you guys. He says, you're musically incorrect, but harmonically you're correct.
Okay.
And I said, what does that mean? He says, well, you're actually singing in the cracks and it's working.
Oh, okay.
Because we're street. What do we know about
right.
A minus C? And, you know, we just open our mouth.
Right. So push record already.
But that's what they did, yes. And they recorded actually in the cracks, you know,
right.
In between the keys.
Yeah, all right.
In the sharps and this and that. And we go. There was a beginning line on the down the road. It was a two-part bass, me and the lead. It would be boom, 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 boom. Boom, 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 baby, oop, boop, bow up. So now me and Snooky had to do that. So I had to go over to the mic. And do the two-part with him, and then go back to the mic, and the engineer says, do it again.
Right, because it goes in one shot in those days, man.
Right, exactly.
You know.
Exactly. There was no, you know, it was only one channel, and that's it.
Right.
He goes, go back to the mic and do it again. I says, why? He says, because I just heard you walking to the other mic.
Now, what am I supposed to do, fly?
So he says, take off your shoes.
Cool.
So I take my shoes off. I go over to the mic, the lead mic. I do the boom, boom, boom routine. And as I go back, I slip on the floor and I fall.
Oh, man. Take three.
Because of the socks and the thing. Then the third take was the funniest. We go back again. He goes, do it again. I said, now what? I didn't do nothing. He goes, somebody left the men's room door open. We heard them flushing.
Oh, boy.
Because those Neumann mics back then picked up everything.
Yep.
So we did it. We recorded it with the band, did the whole ball of wax. We come out. Now we think we're stars because we have a Steel Jacket demo, naturally.
Right.
We're supposed to have a 45, but we signed the contract as kids. We're still trying to figure out how do you divide 4.5% by 4.
I hear you.
we still don't know till this day.
Right, I know.
And the record never came out, you know.
They shelved it. I know.
We did the shelve out, but we went and we started a lip sync, believe it or not.
Uh-huh.
And our first job was at St. Rita's in East New York, Brooklyn.
Right.
And on the bill was the, they were either called the Darchets.
Right.
It was Eddie Padocci's first group.
Gotcha. Oh, cool.
And me and Eddie were friends as kids.
So you guys go way back.
Yeah, way, way back. We were Frankie Fiala, Louis Bonavita, and Snooky, the three guys in my group were ball players.
Uh-huh.
They played ball with Eddie.
Uh-huh.
And we all came from the same neighborhood, so we didn't go to school together, but we knew each other for many, many years.
Wow.
But anyhow, we go on the stage, and back then we had to put the Steel Jacket on a Victrola, and it was behind the curtain, and they had some lame kid from the school. Eddie goes out, and Eddie's group, they were flashy, they were good singers, they were steppers. We were average, you know. Our hands moved, but Eddie's feet moved.
All right.
Which is the opposite. Now, Eddie, don't move at all.
I got you. Well, you know, it comes and it goes.
We start the song with that boom, 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 and the thing keeps going. It was skipping. And we're standing on the stage like idiots. And then finally, one of the nuns got up and did it. So we were embarrassed.
Uh-huh.
And as we walk by, Eddie goes, nice song, but, you know, dump the record.
Too many boom-booms.
Thanks a lot, Eddie. Appreciate all your support, you know.
Right.
And we became the Starfires, and that was like 1958, so 59 were the Starfires,
right.
And I was the Starfires from 59 to 1964.
Wow. Well, you know, so let me ask you something. That particular demo, is there a copy of it floating around somewhere?
Yes, I have it in my house.
Uh-huh.
I have the first demo of a cappella.
And has anybody heard it besides your family?
I'm trying to think. Some DJs back then, and naturally Eddie Engel tried to squeeze.
Of course.
Because but I was smart.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this. So it's not on YouTube, huh?
No, because I can't play. You know, the Steel Jacket. You know, the bracket came off. So I have it on cassette.
Oh, gotcha.
And it's skipping, and I'm always ashamed to put something down.
No, I hear you.
It's nostalgia. I mean, you can hear it, but then all of a sudden, as you're singing, all of a sudden there'll be a skip or a thump or something.
Right.
But I still got the Steel Jackets here in the house.
You know, what's funny, too, is that a lot of the old-time collectors, they love all that crackle, you know, in the 78s. And
without
the
30s, a doubt. Right? I've had guys like Val Shively and Freddie Vaughn and Al Catabiani.
Yep.
All these guys wanted to buy this.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And I'm going like, no, you know, this is me. This is the only thing I have to bring me back to the past. You
gotcha,
know,
gotcha.
I never, there's no pictures of the Bel Airs.
Gotcha.
There's no pictures of the Starfires.
I got one for you. I found all the guys that used to sing with the Islanders. Now, Jimmy Ponticelli passed away. I took his place in the group as first tenor from the original group from New Hyde Park that was like way, way back. And Tommy Giacalone I found. He's in Stony Brook. Jimmy Henley sells insurance. Howie Ma works for a print shop. But there were no pictures. The pictures that Relic took, those pictures were taken 2 years before the group actually recorded.
Wow.
They got the names. Eddie Grice got all the names wrong, spelled them wrong. changed Tommy Giacalone's name to Vic Todd. So, you know, it's his picture, but it says Vic Todd and all of that stuff. So I spoke to Tommy the other day. He says, I took out some old telephone book of mine with numbers in it. I was just thumbing through it, and out falls a picture of the four of us in suit jackets, all four of us. You, says, you, Mike, Howie, Tommy, and Jimmy, he said, and I'm going to send it to you. So it's, you know, talking about nostalgia, there were no actual pictures, you know. Like, I couldn't prove it to anybody. They say, yeah, I hear it. But, you know, give me a picture. Well, now I got a picture.
I went through that for so many years. A, because, you know, there were other Bel Airs groups.
Right.
There were other Starfires. So guys would say, did you do that? I'd go, no.
Right,
you
right.
know, anything I recorded was never released, so on and so forth, neighborhood group, you know. But in 1964, my mentors were the Bob Knight Four.
Right. Now, tell me this story about the Bob Knight Four, because in Florida, you are very connected to the Bob Knight Four. So,
well,
I want to hear that.
When I was a kid, now this is before I learned how to sing. I'm like 12 years old now.
Right.
They were known as the Bobby Dells.
Okay.
And when the Bobby Dells, they sang on the corner of Pickens Avenue by the Kinema movie. And when I would go, there was that, when we bought records back in the neighborhood, we went to a store that sold appliances.
Uh-huh.
We didn't have record stores.
Gotcha.
So you went in the appliance store, and they had a record section, and they were selling the 78s. And like I said, when I was going down listening, I walked down the street, and this is a true story. I walked down the street, and I hear these five guys singing. And I'm like, wow, what is that? Now, I'm too ashamed to stop because I'm a kid. I'm only about now maybe 12 or 13.
Right.
And believe it or not, I lie down on the floor on the sidewalk.
Uh-huh.
By a car, and I lied there for about a half hour listening to
wow.
five of the sweetest voices I've ever heard in my life.
Uh-huh.
I didn't know who they were. And I went back another day, and then, like every Saturday you would see them there, always
right.
on the side.
Right.
And all of a sudden, I realized one of them, his name was Ralph Garone. Ralphie lived right around the corner from me, and I knew, well, I didn't know his kid brother. He was younger than me.
Right.
So, as I grow older and as I start singing, I have a little more nerve, and I approached them one time, and I just stopped, and can I listen? Yeah. And now I become 16, you know, 17, I
right.
got a little more nerve.
Right.
Me and Ralphie became friends, and no one was allowed to their rehearsals
uh-huh.
when they were the Bobby Dells.
Teenagers fall in love. I wish I knew why. Why do beautiful rainbows follow after each rain?
Ooh, if somebody would tell me why,
I'd no longer complain.
Because in my heart there is a feeling, and it plays a dream. For that feeling deep inside me is something I can't explain.
What are little boys made of?
Why do little girls cry? What makes teenagers fall in love? wish I knew why. In my heart there is a feeling, and it plays a drum. For that feeling deep inside me is something I can't explain.
What are little boys made of? Why do little girls cry? I wish I knew why. I wish I knew. I wish I knew. I wish I knew why.
Charlie Licata was there, one of their first tenors, and Charlie went to the Army. So when they went to the Army, Bob Bovino, which is the lead singer,
right?
Bobby always wanted to be Bob Knight. And he always wanted to be a single singer, and he always wanted to go to Vegas. And he geared the Bob Knight Four. They weren't a doo-wop group. They were more four lads, four aces.
Right. I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. Their whole thing was to go to Vegas and, you know, do this and blah, 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 blah. So now I'm 16 years old. I'm hanging out with them. And I'm listening to every song that they recorded while they're practicing. Good Goodbye, Two Friends, How Old Must I Be. Somewhere, you know, I'm going, my God.
Fall in love. Can
accordion like crazy, and I'm like a sponge. I'm just hanging, and
gotcha.
Then I'm allowed to come into their rehearsals, and I'm hanging out with them. And
I hear you.
No one else is allowed in, and now I'm friends with them. And I would never open my mouth. I was always quiet and this and that.
Right.
And they would allow my group to come, and we're learning little things from them because they're more progressive than
right.
us.
Right, right.
And they were taking putting us under their wing and trying to help us out, you know. And we're doing our thing. And then, don't ask me why till this day, but 1964, two things happened at the same time. I got married.
Right.
And I came back off my honeymoon.
Uh-huh.
And I came back on a Sunday. On a Monday night, I'm walking across the street going to a grocery store. And as I'm coming across the street on Liberty Avenue and Shepherd Avenue, I'm holding a bag of groceries. And Ralphie Garone and John Roper of the Bob Knight Four.
Right, I know John, right?
Yell over to me, Frankie. And I go, yo, what's the matter? We're going to talk to you, John. We're going to talk to you.
Uh-huh.
He says, all right, well, what I do now? He goes, you want to be a Bob Knight Four?
Wow.
And I dropped the bag right in the street.
The eggs, the lettuce, everything.
Hey, a car ran over the bag. And I'm like,
right.
What? He goes, well, he says, Bobby Vivino, lead singer, is quitting.
Uh-huh.
Paulie Ferrigno, which is the first tenant, he's quitting.
Right.
There's me and Ralphie. He says, Charlie Licata is making a comeback. He's out of the Army.
Right.
And we want you in.
Well.
And I'm looking at them going, are you kidding me?
Mm-hmm.
Why would you want me?
Right.
And Ralphie said, Frankie, you've told us so many times every time we went out and we sang that all your friends in the neighborhood, the dancers, will say, who do they think they are, the Four Aces?
Right.
Who do they think they are, the Mellow Max?
Right.
And he says, we need to dirty up the sound. He says, you're a dirty singer.
That's funny.
He says, come in, we need to... We're all taller than you, so come into the group.
Right.
I go into the group. I had no business. I have to admit this. And I've said this to John. Me and John have been friends for many years.
Right.
And I said this to John. I says, I don't even know why I even showed up.
Right.
The first night, Ralphie and Charlie, they wanted to, you know, do 50s. But then 50s is already gone at the time, you know. So
right.
they wanted to be a today's group. But Johnny still held back to the modern era stuff.
Right.
So my first song I had to learn to sing was Mamzelle.
Uh-huh.
I didn't even know how to pronounce Mamzelle, you know.
Right.
And he gives me these intricate parts, and I'm looking, I'm like, God, what did I get into? Next song was Life is Just a Bowl of Cherries.
Right.
And I'm going, I'm a 50s doo-wop singer,
right.
and he's got me singing these modern things. And
right.
finally I just said to the guys, I love you, and I can't do this. I don't have this mind, this mentality to sing a ninth or a fifth or, you know, go into this stuff. Just give me, like, basics.
Right.
Then we changed. They wrote about 25 songs.
Right.
And they were all doo-wop.
Wow.
And then we went into the doo-wop vein. And then all of a sudden, it started to catch on. And we worked we made our first record. I was only in the group two nights because you know Bobby Feldman.
Right, of course.
Bobby Feldman knew my manager, Bob Nemza, which is...
I know Bob.
You know Bob. And,
sure.
And Nemo knew a lot of people.
Right.
And he got... So we recorded in 1964 under FGG Productions, Feldman, Goldstein, and Gutterair.
Right.
And that was Bobby's crew. And we went into the studio and we were doing a song called Tomorrow We'll Be Married.
Right.
And on the other side was a song called Willingly. Willingly was previously recorded by Bobby V. And Bobby Feldman wrote Tomorrow We'll Be Married.
Tomorrow you'll be mine. Then we'll be together all the time. Oh, little girl, you're all I dream to be. I've given you my heart. And you've given all your love to me.
Give me a chance and all you'll see. I'll be anything you want me to be, so willingly.
Once in a while, a girl comes along.
but you treat her wrong.
When something happens and you realize.
So we go into the studio, and I was designated to sing Tomorrow We Married, the lead. And I'm nervous, and I'm telling the guys, don't leave me alone in the room. You know, when I'm ready to sing, just stand with me. And they go, yeah. But they didn't. They went in the control room. They left me out there. You know Bobby Feldman as I know him, but you don't know the real Bobby Feldman.
No, I don't. I know him that he walks into every concert,
yeah,
you know, without a ticket. And I know that he wears the same jacket every time. So
that's Bobby. And there's two partners. They were... I don't want to say, you know, they were on drugs, but I think they were, you know.
Right.
These guys would fight and argue and throw stuff at each other.
Right.
And they're fighting and cursing, and I got my earphones on, and I'm watching this whole dilemma through the glass doors.
Uh-huh.
But it's not coming into my ears as of yet.
Right.
So I start to sing this song, Little Girl, You're All I Dream You Be. And I hear, Jesus, and I go, I'm like, what? And they had the mic on coming to me. So they're arguing. I'm listening to them. And then finally, like, I'm getting nervous. My knees are shaking. And this happened a couple of times. And then Bobby got a little cute with me and said something to me. And I reverted back to my Brooklyn. And I just told him where he can go.
That happens. Okay.
And he says, get the hell out of there.
All right.
And Charlie Licata wound up doing the lead.
Uh-huh.
And I wound up doing the... I became a baritone.
Oh, all right. Okay.
So I went and I did the baritone note. Now, he threw me out of the studio, literally.
Right.
And it took time for me to come back in, and they says, no, he's going to do the baritone. So he allowed me to do the background.
Right, okay.
Well, he tells the story today. I will tell you the same story.
Right, right.
40 years later, he shows up to the Kenny Hell show.
Right.
I'm at Kenny Hell. Kenny Hell says, will you do me a favor, go open up the door and let somebody in? I says, sure. Who is it? He goes, Bobby Feldman.
Well, you know, they're Mishbooker, so you know.
I know. I says, oh, Bobby Feldman, are we talking FGG? He goes, yeah.
Yeah.
I says, I've been after this guy for 40 years.
Right.
So I go to the door, I open up, he goes, I'm Bobby Feldman, I'm here to see Ken Hell. I says, beat it, and I close the door on him.
Uh-huh.
I'm looking into the camera, and he's getting mad. He's outside, and then he bangs on the door again. I said, what are you banging on the door for? I just told you to get out.
Yeah, that's when they had the old studio. I remember where that was.
Right, and back.
Yeah, right.
Oh, I let him kick the door with his foot. Then I finally let him in.
Right.
And as we're walking in, he's mad.
Right.
But I'm a little bigger than him, so he really doesn't want to get into a fight.
Right.
I can see he's puffing up, and he says, I says to him, you don't remember me, right? And he goes, no. I said, my name is Frankie Iovino. You wrote Tomorrow We'll Be Married. He said, yes, I did. And I says, and you recorded the song in 1964.
Right.
You put it out on your own label.
Right.
And he goes, yeah. And I says, he said, what was the label? It says Gold, G-O-A-L. I have the 45. He says, how come you have it? Because I'm the kid that you threw out of the studio, so it took me 40 years to pay you back.
Wow, that's funny.
So he says, it's a better story. He says, you will never get me again. And I says, you shouldn't have said that. So we went in.
Uh-huh.
He did his interview with Kenny Hell.
Right.
I did my semi, you know, hanging out.
Yeah, I got that.
Yeah, my bullshit routine. And we do the thing and everything. And, I guess he's telling the story about what happened and I got him back. And he said live on the radio,
right,
he will never get me again. About a month later, I work for the sheriff's department.
Right.
And I'm driving my patrol car, and I'm on Broward Boulevard, 995.
Right.
And as I stop at the light, who's next to me? Bobby Feldman. I says, oh, thank you, Lord.
Uh-huh.
So as he pulls away, I pull behind, put the license siren on, and I make him go down a dead-end block. And he's got nowhere to go. And I get out, and I put the floor of the Stetson on, I put the sunglasses
That's
on.
That's funny.
See-through. I walk over tall, and when I get to the window, I don't have my head by his window, only my stomach, gun belt. And I says as follows, license and registration, boy. And he goes, well, what do I do? What did I do? I says, you don't do nothing.
You threw me out of the studio. You said to him, you threw me out of the studio 4 years ago.
All you have to do is be quiet, give me your license and registration, and I don't want to have none of your New York nonsense.
Right, right.
And I can see him shaking.
Right.
And I take the license, I take the registration, and he goes, Are you going to give me a ticket? And I bend down and I go, no, but I just got your back, Dopey. And he goes, damn you, and he tells everybody.
Hi, this is Bob Feldman, and you're listening to my good friend Mike Miller on the Harmony Street Show.
That was my second record, and I stood with the Bob Knight Four from 1964
right
to 1968.
Uh-huh.
And we were under contract with the Tokens. They
right.
signed us up. We had a year's contract with them.
Right.
We recorded some demos of the Margot Brothers, the twins.
Right.
They
right.
wrote Girl from California,
right.
Tamir.
Right.
And then we did a cover version of Speak So or Come Softly.
Gotcha.
And then when the year was up, we knew we weren't going to go nowhere because they were working on The Happenings at the time.
Right, right.
And they just put out The Happenings album.
Yeah.
So we were like kind of shelved.
Yeah.
Another thing that, and what we said before, but people don't believe a lot of things. We had a guy named Eddie Delmar, and Eddie Delmar was backed up by the Bob Knight Four, and
right.
they did, they backed him up on two records, Madison and Vargas.
Okay.
And songs are great. They did Garden in the Rain and a couple of Bob Knight Four originals and,
Bingo, bingo.
Any collector, and you say Eddie Delmont, the Bob Knight Forum,
right.
But they're worth money. The songs are worth money. They're great, great songs. And we got a copy of Caramia before it came out.
Uh-huh.
We gave it to Eddie. Eddie had a very high, crystal clear operatic voice.
Wow.
And the four of us, we worked on Caramia for about at least 2 weeks. Bobby Nemza took us. The first place he took us, I can't remember his name, he was one of the three Chuckles.
Uh-huh,
okay. Went through his office, and he says, I can't afford you guys, but let me bring you upstairs. So he brought us upstairs, and we went actually to sing for Jay and the Americans.
Uh-huh.
We walked into their office. We don't know them. They were all there, Kenny Vance, Howie.
Right,
Jay,
Kenny Rosenberg, I know.
Right, they were all there.
Hi, this is Kenny Vance.
This is Howie Kane.
And Marty Sanders.
Hi, I'm Jay.
And I'm Sandy
from Jay and the Americans.
And you're listening to Mike Miller on the Harmony Street Show.
We walk in and they go, you know, who are you? And we go with a Bob Knife. Oh, we know that. Everyone wanted the name because of Good Goodbye and Two Friends. They made
gotcha.
They made a lot of noise,
yeah.
Especially in Pittsburgh.
Right.
And so we sang the song for them, and we got this feeling of like, they're looking at us with these dirty looks, and we don't understand why. Anyhow, we walked out. It was like, don't call us, we'll call you. Then we went upstairs to the Tokens.
Right.
And Jay Siegel, the Margot Brothers, were there, and we sang for them. And they signed us right on the spot.
Wow.
Year's contract, but they didn't want to do Caramia.
Wow.
About a month later, me and Ralphie Garone were driving down Cross Bay Boulevard going to Rockaway Beach. And as we're coming in front of everyone who know the area, from that area, we're coming in front of the Big Bow Wow. And as we come in front of the Big Bow Wow, it's a hot dog joint, Bruce Morrow comes on and goes, pick hit of the week, Caramia.
Yeah.
Went through the damn windshield.
Well, that's funny. You know, along with that, after the Islanders you left the Relic thing and whatever, we got signed to GMC Records, which was an MGM subsidiary, and a guy by the name of Gino Moretti in Glen Cove. And Gino was the one that signed Connie Francis and a lot of people. But now he had his own little label thing going. So we go to our first rehearsal over his house, and it's Jay Traynor over the house,
because
he was living in Mineola then. And he gave me a song called Looking Out My Window.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I want you to sing this song. And, you know, I don't know what happened. We wound up doing a couple of different songs. One of them was a song called Where the Lights Are Bright, and the flip side was Baby Pack On. Baby Pack On was written by Ray Cerrone of the Bell Notes, which, believe it or not, I'm looking for it, and nobody knows where he is, because the tune now is a Northern Soul hit, and it's worth about like $195, the Baby Pack On tune.
Really?
And I don't even have a copy. And some guy wrote me, you know, on my website and said, yeah, I used to work for Ray, you know, in New York, you know, he was my boss and everything. And he gave me a copy of that tune, and I have it. You know, and I laughed. I said, you know, it's really funny. I was on a radio with Jay in Poughkeepsie about, when I was still with Harmony Street. And I said to him, do you remember a song called Looking Out My Window? And he said, keep talking. And I said, don't you remember we were over, you know, and it was probably, you know, it was in the 60s at that point. And I started singing the first couple of lines, and then he sang the second line. He says, oh yeah, I remember I wrote that. I said, yeah, you did. So then he recently sent me the demo of that tune. Thank you.
see looking out my window, looking out my window, looking for my love. What will I see looking at the blue skies? Maybe it's her blue eyes looking back at me. Oh, when she left.
You know, it doesn't mean anything to anybody else, but it's like part of your history and it's part of your nostalgia, and it's all good, you know.
Everything is yours. You know, this for many years, nobody would believe that I sang with the Bob Knight Four.
No, I hear you.
I went on radio stations,
right.
and Bob Pianca,
right.
Stu Goldstein, Kenny
right.
Hell.
Right.
I had people call in and go, did you do Good Goodbye? I go,
right.
no.
Uh-huh.
Did you do Two Friends? I go, no.
Yeah, but you know it's between you and the Bob Knight Four and the guy upstairs. I mean, no.
And what happened was, it was, and when Charlie, Nola Bottolo sang with me.
Right.
By Burroughs.
I remember Charlie.
Charlie sang with the Cavaliers.
Right.
And nobody believed that he sang. Because, you know, we didn't have pictures. We didn't have these things.
It's funny.
And some of us had steel jackets, but, you know, who plays 78? But it was people like Bobby Feldman that came on the radio and says Frankie was there. We did a,
right.
Bob Pianca did a thing with Bobby Vivino and John Roper.
Right.
And says, yes, Frankie was a Bob Knight Four, you know, and he did record the Tomorrow We'll Be Married, so on and so forth.
Right.
And, you know, it was funny. I had to prove myself, but no one would listen to me.
Yeah, but you know what? It's like, it's all, I always look at this whole genre as a big beach, and there are all different sized pebbles on the beach,
oh, well,
and there's sand, but they're all important, because if you take any part of it away, it ceases to be what it really is. It's just a huge beach with a lot of different sized pebbles and things, and you know, I always say I'm just glad to be a little pebble on the beach, you know, but it's a great beach.
It's like, you know, it's an honor to be part of it. I mean, as we're going on, we're hanging out now in 64, 68, I break up, you know, with the Bob Knight Four. We brought
yep.
in girls. We had Gene Hammond,
right.
and we brought in Carol Goldberg.
Right.
And that's when we were signed with the Tokens. So now the Tokens were gearing us to be the white Fifth Dimension.
Gotcha.
Of course, the two girls and three guys.
Right.
We're doing all this stuff. And then, you know, just 1968, you know,
right.
I'm going my way. The
right.
girls. So we broke up and we did our thing. And then I put together a kiddie band in 1969.
Right.
And it was Mikey Garone, the kid brother, Rafi Garone from the Bob Knight Four.
Right.
And his cousin, Gil Garone, and this guy, Junior Scavone, which it's funny, I just found him about a month ago. He's one of the biggest lighting and sound guys in Vegas.
Isn't that funny? You never know where these guys go, and yet, you know, you touch
so
base with them
Facebook
again. Facebook
like, has opened up everything, and I say,
you bet.
Frankie, is this you? This is Junior. I was your bass player in the
right,
60s.
Right.
And I'm going, what are you doing? I talk to artists, and they all say, oh, Rocky Scavone, Marone. He's like big in Vegas with sound and light.
Yeah.
Goes, God bless him. Yeah.
I have that experience as well. You know, it's really something else. Getting back to Kenny Hell now, I can remember, I don't know how many years ago it was, you know, my parents were down here. They were down in the late 70s, and
mm-hmm.
they were one of the first houses in Boca Point in the Encantada section, and there was their house and a lot of sand around them. And so I used to come down. I used to hang out, and I used to go see different groups. I would go see the Fabulons, and I would go see Reunion, and I would go see, you know, whoever was around. I call you, I think, and you say to me, we're doing a telethon with Kenny.
Right, yes.
And
yes.
Kenny, you know, I called your cell phone, and you said, Kenny's around here, let me get him. So, you know, Kenny was playing the Harmony Street stuff then too, and, you know, whatever. And, you know, he was all excited. We were going to the White House and everything. And Kenny says something about, tell him to come down, right? And he's, or whatever. And he says, you know, he says, come on down. He says, here's Frankie. And you says, okay, you know, come on down. And then got to go or something. But you never told me where to go.
Yeah, we're at WSC. Well, he didn't. Yeah, I didn't even hear him say that.
Yeah,
I mean, he just handed me the phone. And I'm going like, yeah. There in WSC up on Congress Avenue up there doing doing live, and
he says, put on a white shirt and a black pair of pants and come down. He goes.
Well, I'm glad
like
he told you that, because he didn't tell me nothing.
Yeah, so, you know, I mean, that was all right, but I remember that story. I remember that story very, very well, you know. And Kenny, you know, we go out with them all the time, you know. It's mm-hmm. You know, we go out to eat with them and whatever, and, you know, it's all about Kenny, you know.
Well, Kenny, I don't have to tell you. Always be Kenny.
Yeah, my brother.
Hi, this is Ken Held from the Doo-Wop Shop, and you are listening to my buddy, Mike Miller.
On the Harmony Street Show.
But we had you know, it's you have a lot of fun doing this, and as the years go on, I mean, I stopped, I think, in 1969, and then I got separated from my wife in 1970, and I stopped singing. I got out of the business, and I moved to Florida in 1973.
Right.
And 1982 or 83,
right?
I used to go to a place called Serrato Oldies.
Okay.
In Plantation.
Right.
And it was a record store. And somebody told me about, yeah, you want to see old stuff? And I went in, and as soon as I walk in, look up, and there's a picture of the Bob Knight Four.
Uh-huh.
And I'm laughing. I'm going, where'd you get that picture? And he goes, they came into my store. It was Artie Applebaum. Artie goes, they came into my store when I was up in the Bronx.
Wow.
And I says, really? I says, I was with them. He goes, which one are you? I says, I'm not on the picture.
Right.
And like I says, there's no picture of me.
Right.
With, no picture of me at the Bob Knight Four. We never took a picture.
Right.
And he goes, did you sing goodbye? I said, here we go. No.
There we go. Let's play the game.
I did the goal. And Goal, you know, was never released because, if you know correctly, 1964, the Beatles came in.
Right.
You couldn't buy a DJ back then.
That's
so
true. No, you're
I
right.
have a 45 up on my wall, and that's where it's going to stay, you know.
Right.
Nobody else has it.
Right.
So he's telling me, like, you know, do you know that there's a lot of old doo-wop groups making a comeback? And I said, no, really. He goes, yeah, 1981. And he was telling me about the ambient sound thing. And
right.
He told me this. And, oh. And he says, I just got those boxes. It's all new stuff.
And Baby Come Back to Me had just come out by the Capris.
Right, exactly.
And that was a hit. Right. I remember that time frame. Right.
Exactly. And I go over to these boxes, and they're all brand new albums. The Chimes, the Capris, and everybody and their mother. And all of a sudden, I look at this, and I go, you got to be kidding me. Here's this album, The Bob Knight Four.
Right.
And I go, Bob Knight Four's greatest hits. Well, I haven't talked to the guys at all. You know, I didn't know them. I mean, I haven't talked to them in many years, so
right.
I don't know what the hell's going on. And I said, Artie, can I play this album? And he goes, well, I would like if you buy it. And I said, okay.
Uh-huh.
So I buy it because I'm not mentioned on the album.
Gotcha.
And I says, well, you know, I don't know. I'm looking at the songs. I've sang every one of those songs.
Right.
But, again, so I took it home, and there was a song called Storyland.
Right.
And Snooki, my lead singer, when we were the Bob Knight Four, we went into the studio to do an album. We were working. We did six songs, all originals. And I said to my guys, listen, I don't think that any one of us are strong enough to be a lead singer.
Uh-huh.
I says, John, you know, you're a bass. Ralphie, you got a good, nice voice. Charlie, you got a good, you know. I always consider myself the least. I says, but why don't we get my lead singer, Snooki? Snooki was a good-looking kid. He was
right.
Almost, he had that early Dion look.
Right.
Sharp dress, a good voice, you know, blah, 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 blah. And why don't we back him up on all these originals?
Uh-huh.
See what we can do. So we went into the studio, I think we were in Variety at the time, and we recorded six songs with me, with a band, all originals, and then we were supposed to go back to the studio and can't find Snooki. And now I'm getting yelled at and this and that. Make a long story short, 2 days later, I never knew the kid was on drugs. And they found him dead in the park.
Oh, boy.
So there went our album, and, you know, I still got the six songs on tape, you know, but it never went far and this and that. So every time, it was like, every time I stepped up to the bat, there was always someone to pull the rug from underneath me, you know.
Wow.
And we're doing all these things and this and that. So I see the album, I take the album home, and on there is one song, Storyland, and it's the cut from Snooki singing the lead in me.
Wow.
And I tracked down my manager, Bobby Nemza, and I says, not for nothing, but couldn't you give me like a little, you know, say I was on the damn thing? Oh, well, it wasn't me. It was Cape Records.
Right.
And Cape screwed everything up, and then there's another story that when they went to Cape to go get their royalties, there was tape on the door, taxes. So Bobby got beat out of money, and the Bob Knight Four got beat out of money, and I got beat out of a name.
It's then, always that kind of sad story. But you know what? The freeze frame and the memory of being there and having done it is something that nobody can ever take away from you. And
it will always be there.
Exactly.
You know, it's. And I can play it for people, you know, see anybody comes in my house,
right,
want to hear me as a baby, you know, blah, 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 blah. But this industry, and now this is the down note, this industry of people that think they know what they're doing, they're making jerks out of all of us.
I hear you.
And they never get, Eddie Engel, classic example.
No, I know.
I have a CD right here.
And don't forget, this is my radio show, and we say whatever we want.
I know.
So, you know.
I have a saying, and right, I've had it all my life.
Right.
Frankie Iorino says this as follows: I refuse to be shackled by complacency.
I hear you. Okay.
I want to tell the truth. I don't want to badmouth people.
Right.
But it's a point where someone has done something to me, he deserves.
Okay.
I mean, he puts out a CD, 21st Century Doo-Wop.
Right.
And I'm on there. He doesn't tell me I'm on there. Now,
right,
you know, I did not write, but I arranged Recess in Heaven.
Right, okay. Great song.
And Recess in Heaven became like a Morse code of love. Everybody in the mud. Till this day, I've had seven groups recorded.
I love the song.
I just had the Jive-O-Matic out of Germany.
Uh-huh.
The other German group, not the Mysterials, the other guys, they recorded it.
Right.
The Holidays that made a comeback out of Pittsburgh, they recorded it.
Right.
The famous Danny Catalano that went to
right,
prison.
Right.
And he recorded it. Joel Katz recorded it.
Right. Oh, cool.
I mean, I have seven groups that have re-recorded.
Right.
And I got into a big thing when he put it out, and it's going to England.
Right.
And it's going to be released out of England, and I'm going like, I call him up and I says, why don't, you know, A, don't you tell me? B, I mean, don't I get paid?
Right.
And he has his partner, Steve Dworkin, I believe his name.
Right, I know the name.
Yeah, and Dworkin sends me one of these baloney cover letters.
Right.
Although you're just an arranger, you're not the writer.
Uh-huh.
So you don't get royalties,
right,
and blah, 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 blah. And I call him up and I says, although your partner, Eddie Engel, is a liar, he promised me.
Right.
I says, but I just noticed that he gave writer's rights to the guy in Germany.
Right.
I just got on the phone. I called the guy in Germany, and he hasn't seen the penny either. So I think all you. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to send a letter to Ace Records and
right,
just condemn you. So the next thing I know, I get a check from him for a couple of $100.
Oh, cool, man.
To keep me quiet, you know. Na 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 na
There's a recess in heaven. You are an angel sent down from heaven above. Recess in heaven. My 7-Eleven. I'm lucky. I'm falling in love. Recess in heaven. You are an angel. I'm gonna make you mine. When I looked at you, I knew it was true. At last, I found my.
Hey, look, I know what you mean. You know, my Harmony Street ballad is on so many compilations.
I mean, oh, yes, big time.
I find it, like, if I Google it, I find it everywhere.
Right.
I'll tell you, though, Mickey B was a mensch. He said, look, I want to use the tune on my Volume 2. It's on Early Bird Records and everything else. He said, if you don't mind, I'd like to rent it from you. And he sent me a check for a couple of $100. And I said, you know, that was being a mensch. I mean, I would have said, "You go ahead, use it," you know. But he said, "No, I want it this way and whatever." And I thought that was cool.
Harmony Street is next here in the Doo-Wop Shop.
Doo-Wop Shop on CBS 7.
Open up your heart, recall how it used to be, remember all the love we found, ooh,
on Harmony Street, ooh, there was a place that we used to go, when we were feeling down, and we were low. We couldn't believe our eyes when we were there. Wasn't it a big surprise to find we really cared? We looked into each other's hearts. To
Street.
Yes, there were times when we had it all figured out. Then there were times when we both had our doubts. But through it all, you know, our love was complete. We spent all our time on Harmony Street. Couldn't believe our eyes when we were there. Wasn't it a big surprise to find we really cared? We looked into each other's eyes and found the road that led us to Harmony Street. Yes, there were times when we had it all figured out. Then there were times when we both had our doubts. But through it all, you know, our love was complete. We spent all our time on Harmony Street.
I Google it, I find it somewhere else. It's like,
without a doubt, and you know, yeah. you wind up doing these things. Now, like I said, recess in heaven, I've never received a penny.
I hear you.
Now, you know, now 7-7 acts put it out. But the other one I wrote, Like a Kid at Christmas, is a Christmas song.
Right.
Comes out every year. It came out on 5 different CDs.
Right.
I tracked them down. The only one that's ever paid me royalties, till this day, he still does, is Collectible Records, Jerry Green.
Yeah, well, they're good guys, Dennis and Jerry. I mean, you know, it's like it is what it is, man. You sign the contract for whatever, and blah blah blah. But see, I always looked at the Collectibles, and I told this to certain people that I sang with when we had our record on Collectibles. I said, look, stop looking at all the little percentage and whatever. You got a chance to put that group back in people's houses and,
right.
and get that name back out there and whatever with product that's going to go into, you know, a lot of houses. You can't buy that kind of
PR. And your picture is there in that 80-page magazine.
Exactly.
And that goes out to everybody. And,
exactly.
You know, that's the same thing I told Spanky and I told the other guys, you know, we're not making big money, you
right.
know. You You may make at the end of the month $6. Who cares?
Exactly.
But the advertising alone is worth everything.
Exactly right. And people get to know who you are in the genre, and that's worth more money than gold. You know, I mean, it's
you go into the collectibles magazine at one point, especially near Christmas.
Right.
And you're going to see the Five Boroughs. You're going to see Just Friends.
Right.
You're going to keep seeing my picture.
Right.
You're going to keep seeing the Christmas song. You're going to see Spanky. I mean, it's like, how many, so I'm with the Five Discs, blah, blah,
right.
blah, blah. I mean, we'll get to that, you know, but these are the things that then people go, oh my God, you know, this, they are really doing something. You know, you can go out and profess yourself, but if no one sees you, no one hears you, you know, the guy blowing smoke up of people's ass. That's
no,
all.
I understand.
You know, it's like,
well,
what is he saying, you know? Oh, yeah, good. He thinks he's somebody. Well, there is a way to prove it. T.J. Lubinsky was a perfect example. I did 14 specials for that kid.
Right.
And everyone used to get mad at me because he used to be during the week, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, and the guys,
right.
you know, the guys would go like, we're going to keep doing them. I said, you can't buy TV time.
You bet.
I did Magic and Stu Goldstein and Bob Pianca and
right.
every DJ that there is for years pushing the Bob pushing the Five Boroughs.
Well, also you were in the Hub, and you know, let me tell you something, Frank. I was in Connecticut and New York, and everybody knew who Frank Iovino was. So the point is, all of the little. The energy that you sent out, it found its mark. People knew who you were all across the country in the genre. So, you know.
Without a doubt, and one of my nicest memories is Don K. Reed.
Right.
I did a jingle for Don K. Reed
right.
when I had Brian and Siobhan in the group.
Right.
And we did a nice thing for him. And when he left, and after he left CBS FM.
Right.
He called me up. And he says, Frank, I need a favor. And I says, yeah, what? He says, I need a copy of the jingle. The jingle was
right.
A lovely way to spend an evening.
Cool.
And I says, sure, yeah, why? He says, I happen to treasure that one. It's one
cool.
of the best jingles that I have.
Very cool.
Proppins. He
Very
says,
cool.
and when I left, they wouldn't give me my stuff.
No, they wouldn't. And you know what's funny? It's... I talk to him all the time now. It's, you know, back and forth. I, you know, like you, we did the Rem Lima Don K. Reed jingle and he played the piss out of that. Now, you know, we were happy that he did that, you know, and everything else. But you're absolutely right about that. He didn't get any of that. Well, you see, what happened was they gave him a hard time at the end, and Joe McCoy, who lived in Connecticut, and Joe used to come to our shows, he couldn't stand all the jingles. He thought that Don was full of himself with all the jingles. But you see, I said to him, Joe, you don't understand. Everybody waits for those jingles every 15 minutes.
Of course they do.
I says, all the groups, they wait to hear their own jingle. I said, in the other groups, it's become, those jingles have a cult following. You know, it's like you're missing it. It's not about Don. It's about those groups paying homage to Don, you know. And I said to Don, why don't you take some of the jingles you have, and they're easy to get because groups, you know, they got them, they're putting them on YouTube. I says, why don't you put them all out on a CD? He said, I would never, ever in my lifetime think of exploiting all of those gifts to me. Those were gifts, he said, and I would never, ever exploit it. I said, but the groups would be thrilled to have people hear them again. He said, but I don't think that way. I would never do that. I'm a purist.
Well, he is. He's always a nice guy.
Right.
Always. I mean,
you're listening to great music on my good friend Mike Miller's Harmony Street Show. Oh, by the way, this is Don K. Reed. Remember from the Doo-Wop Shop?
No, I don't know anyone that can speak better.
No.
I mean, we have certain names that we can use and we'll curse the hell out of them.
Right.
You know, but there's a gentleman that's always been, whether he knew you.
Oh,
when,
you bet.
When I, well, let me go back to the albums. You know, I saw the album, The Bob Knight 4, and then all of a sudden I look at another album, and there's this album called From Doo-Wop to Disco.
Right.
And I open it up, and I go, there's Eddie Padoce, and go, holy crap, everybody's singing but me.
Okay.
So I take the thing home, and now you have to remember, I haven't been singing since 1968.
Right.
And now it's like 1982 or 83, I don't remember.
Right.
And, you know, I'm going through like midlife crazies. I'm working with the sheriff's department. I'm on the afternoon shift. I got my mornings and, you know, off and this
right.
and that. And I would sit in my house and I bought the album. And I was impressed. Wasn't impressed with the disco thing, but the idea was cool. It was well done. But it was just listening to the a cappella that brought me back to where I belonged.
Right.
And I wasn't singing for all those years. And I was like, you know, kind of depressed and kind of this.
Yeah, yeah.
And all of a sudden I sat down. I remember I says when I was a kid, I was a first tenor. I had a falsetto.
Right.
And I sang, you know, When You Dance and Gloria. Then I joined the Bob Knight Four and I went down to second tenor.
Right.
And I took the second tenor spot.
And when you sing second tenor for a lot of years and for a long period of time, you kind of wear a groove, you know.
Without a doubt, definitely. Yeah. And then now I stop singing. I'm a smoker, blah, blah, blah,
right.
blah, blah. And then all of a sudden I grabbed the album and it was like an intense thing with me. It was like I was off during the week.
Right.
I didn't have the seniority, so maybe I was off Tuesday, Wednesday. Whatever day it was, I would take the doo-wop side, and I'd play it, and I'd start off in progression, and I'd start singing all the bass lines
gotcha.
And all the songs to see if my brain is still, you know,
gotcha.
The same way. And I'm going, oh, yeah, I knew this line, and I knew the songs, you know.
And at the same time, your chops were coming back.
Right,
strong,
I'm opening
right.
up, and, and my brain is opening up,
right.
and, you know, because there is a format to do up.
There's you bet,
format.
You bet.
And now I'm doing the baritone, and then I got up to the second tenor, but I could not get to the first tenor.
Right, okay.
And my voice just dropped, that's it, that's no more, you know.
Right.
And I'm going crazy, blah, 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 and all of a sudden, I don't know who the hell I met, and I remember. There was a DJ called Michael Knight, Dr. Dua.
Yeah. Michael is on Facebook. I talk to him all the time.
And Michael had a show, Blue Suede Network in Pompano.
Right.
And at that time, Jay Michaels was working there.
Yep.
And Mindy Lang was working there.
Right.
And Stu, I can't remember his name, he had a jazz show. He was working there. And I'm working this show as the
father. Was it Stu Goldstein?
No, not Stu Goldstein.
Not Stu Goldstein.
It was
Stu.
Another Stu.
The he other
does
Stu.
Nothing but jazz.
Stu Gatz.
I'm driving home on a Friday night, and all of a sudden this radio is like, uh-huh. I hear like, I don't know, you know, My Reverie by the Larks or something. I'm going, what?
Uh-huh.
What is this? And I get into the house, and I get to my radio, and I put it on. And very staticky, but I'm picking up this Blue Suede Network. So the next Friday night, I hurried home, and I called into the station.
Right.
And I says, you got him. You're really playing some great stuff. Where the hell are you from? He goes, I'm originally from Long Island. And
right.
I says, okay, I'm from New York. And he goes, you know what? He says, you know these songs? And I said, are you kidding me? I'm just riding home. And I really want to say, you know, you really do. And at that time, I was living in Sunrise.
And you
Sunrise.
And you said, my name is Frankie Iovino. And he said to you, you're the guy that didn't sing with the Bob Knight Four.
It was one of those things.
The word is out.
And Michael Knight
right.
doesn't tell anybody. He was the drummer for Question Mark and the Mysterious.
Oh, wow.
So I says, you played good, and I says, do you have Good Goodbye? And he goes, yeah, that was my wedding,
uh-huh.
not his wedding song, it was something else's, something his favorite song.
Right.
And I says, well, I sang with them, and
uh-huh.
oh my gosh, I got Frankie Iovino, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
And I says, where do you, so at the end of the show, I said, where do you live? Well, he lived like 6 blocks away from me.
Always.
So I went over his house the next day, we became friends, and
cool.
he says, I got to get you on my show. Would you do an interview? I said, sure, why not?
Right.
He said, okay, come to Blue Suede Network. He says, now listen to me. He says, I found Tony Pasa, the Fascinator.
Ah.
I says, really? Where'd you find him? He says, well, Tony came into my business trying to sell corrugated boxes or something like that.
Right.
And that's what Tony did at the time. And he was talking, and he saw something doo-wop behind the counter.
Right.
And he asked the secretary, who does doo-wop? And she says, well, my supervisor, he has a radio show, blah, blah. So they got together. Okay, so he's telling me, I'm going to get Tony. The next night, I'm driving home again, late at night, and Mindy Lang came on I guess it was, it had to be Blue Suede Network. And she says, I was at Calder Racetrack today, and I heard this a cappella group, and now my ears are going like, a cappella?
Uh-huh.
And I'm on Oakland Park Boulevard and University Drive in Sunrise. I stopped at the light, and she says, you really got to hear these guys. They were singing a cappella, and tonight, which is at that time, they're going to be at Bobby Rubino's on University Drive and Oakland Park Boulevard.
Right.
Park right there. And she goes, and they're called Reunion.
Huh.
So I make a quick ride. I go into the parking lot, and I change in the dark. I get out of my uniform, and I always carry a pair of slacks and a shirt in the trunk, and I put it on, and I go in, and they're up there singing. And I'm going like, wow.
Yeah.
So they come off, and I walk over, and Dave Harding and Joe Neary come walking.
Well, you know, Joe and I knew each other in high school, but that's another story.
Joey told me that.
Yeah.
Yeah, Joey told me that. So anyhow, they come walking by, and I said, man, you guys are really cool. I haven't heard this in a long time. And Dave Harding goes, what do you know about doo-wop? And I said, I says, I know a lot about doo-wop.
Right.
I've been around.
Right.
Here he says, well, did you ever sing?
Uh-huh.
So, now, both of them were cops at the time.
Right,
Both of them were cops in Tamarack.
Yep.
And I says, yeah, and they go, you know, Joe, you know, what do you do?
Right.
The deputy sheriff. I go, oh, we're cops too. I said, oh, yeah, that's good. And we're talking, and then Dave says, did you ever sing? And I says, yeah, I sang with the Bob Knight Four. He goes, holy crap, you did good, goodbye. And I go, no, I didn't know two friends. I said, I record tomorrow, we'll be married.
Right.
Blah, 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 blah.
Right.
He goes, come over to the bar. He says, I want you to meet somebody. And we go over to the bar. And he goes, Frankie Iovino, this is Jimmy Gallagher. And I go, holy crap, how you doing? We're talking. And we're having a drink, and, you know, we're just, who'd you sing with? I said, Bob Knight Four. And Jimmy goes, one of the greatest vocal groups in the business.
Right.
Everyone that I've ever said that to, that knows groups, always says, I've had Nicky Santa Maria from the Capris, Meal Stew Girl from the Classics.
Right.
Who was the Bob Knight Four? Those guys were tremendous.
Right.
Oh, thank you. Okay. Anyhow, I asked Jimmy, you want to do an interview? He goes, yeah. So we all went to the radio station.
Cool.
Friday night, Jimmy, and Joe Neary and Dave Harding came.
Very cool.
And the three of us sat down, me, Jimmy, and Tony, and he went down the line, and he played our records, and blah, blah, blah. And I heard the worst version of 16 Candles ever heard in my life by Passions.
Hey, wait a minute. Here she comes. Surprise! 16 Candles.
Yo!
Jimmy goes, oh, don't play that, don't play that. We were laughing, having fun. At the end of the interview, Michael Knight says, and this is 1984, he goes, why don't you guys put together a group? And we're looking at each other, go, well, you know.
I know what's coming.
He says, why don't you call yourselves Bits and Pieces?
Cool.
And I says, wow, that's funny. So I says, well, think about it. So we walk outside. I says to Jimmy, you want to do it? He goes, yeah. I go to Tony, you want to do it? He goes, yeah. And I turn to the other two guys and I go, I know you're single reunion, but would you guys want to come into the group?
Right.
And, I mean, we're going to offer you the spots to come in.
Right.
But if you don't want to leave your group, which is understandable, stay with us until we can replace you.
Right.
And we stood together a year. But the first night that we got together, you have to understand that these are guys, all of us, been singing since we've been kids.
Right.
And we got five lead singers.
You just chime off.
There we got three first tenors.
Right.
We got five second tenors. We got five baritones, five basses. I mean, we didn't have to. I actually have it on cassette tape. We sang 56 songs in Joey's house that night.
Wow.
And just kept singing. We may be like on a scale of 1 to 10, we're like at 8. Our harmonies are perfect.
I heard some of it. Joey played some of it.
Yeah, I mean, we're doing things. It's like the first night together. Oh, maybe we don't know like Wham Wham or Whip Whip, or maybe I got my arrangement in my mind. But
and Tony Pasa was part of that, right?
Yes, Tony Pasa.
Because I said to Joe Neary, somebody needs to hear this. He says Tony Pasa doesn't want anybody to hear it.
I know he don't, but I make sure everybody does.
Yeah.
So anyhow, we lasted for a year.
Uh-huh.
And we did radio shows. We did. We never did any jingles to anybody.
So really and truly, you guys were the first legends of doo-wop.
Well, very, very true, because I've always said this, that when everything broke up, I always said to my guys, if they ever come against us, we're going to have a problem.
Right.
They were the original lead singers, you know.
Right.
Close your eyes. Take a deep breath.
Boom, boom.
Open your heart. Hold me, darling.
Never let me go.
Darling, and tell me.
Tell me.
You love me.
You love me.
You love me. Hold me tight.
Hold me tight.
Don't say goodnight.
Don't say goodnight.
We have time. Everything gonna be all right. Hold me, darling. Darling, and tell me.
Tell me.
You love me.
Love me. Love me. Love me.
No, no, no.
No, no, no.
Even though. This is not the way that I want it to be.
But if you
got to pretend, hold me, darling.
Never let me go.
Darling, and tell me. You love me. I love you, darling, with all my heart and soul.
Hi, this is Lloyd Price, and you're listening to my good friend, Mike Miller, on the Harmony Street Show.
we broke up. We were together for a year. We only sang in one place at one time.
Right.
We sang in a place called Cinnamons on Powerline and McNabb.
Yeah, I think I remember that.
And that was the only time we ever sang publicly. We recorded, God knows, I must have probably 100 songs on cassette that Joey had the
right.
Joey had the studio in his garage. But we never, never, we did a lot of radio shows. We did a lot of things.
A thought just came into my head. So here's Tony Pasa and Joey and Jimmy Gallagher, and they're all singing on Shoe Bop and New Masters. What? They couldn't give you a call?
No. No. Well, actually, I left the group. I couldn't take them.
I hear you.
It was just a whole lot of things. We were in the studio, and we were recording.
Right.
Up-to-date stuff. We had a three-piece band. These kids were tremendous. Good,
right.
Good, strong musician, but they were like 18 years old.
Right.
But they wrote three songs, which were modern. They were like at the time.
Right.
But they couldn't write words, and they couldn't write melodies. So me and Tony wrote songs.
Gotcha.
And remember the radio show, The Morning Zoo?
Yes.
Well, we were in a studio on Johnson Street, and this one of the guitar players, his name was Larry Fregala. Mm-hmm. Larry was friends with the DJs on the Morning Zoo, and they says to Larry, "If you bring your group, I mean, if you bring in the song, and if it's today, we'll play it."
Uh-huh.
So we went in the studio at 8 o'clock at night, and we had to have it finished and delivered by 7 o'clock in the morning, the next morning.
Right.
During the session, I'm not going to say what happened, but Jimmy got fired.
Okay.
Joey got fired.
Right.
Dave got fired.
Right.
And me and Tony called our wives up, and 3 o'clock in the morning, we had to do all the vocals.
Somebody probably brought a six-pack. I'm just guessing.
More.
Whatever.
Hi, my name is Jimmy Gallagher.
And this is Mike Miller.
Hi, Mike.
How you doing, Jim?
Hi, this is Jimmy Gallagher of The Passions, and you're listening to The Harmony Street Show with Mike Miller.
And we wound up overdubbing all the parts in this and that.
I've
we brought
there.
It to the Morning Zoo. They played it.
Uh-huh.
But then everyone knows Tony Pasa, so it was got to the point where I had to say goodbye. So after a year, I left the group, and the group actually broke up because they tried to put together a group after that, and I think they called themselves The Remaining Few. And that didn't work. They
good
had
name.
Tommy Moran,
yeah.
Ernie Sutton,
right.
Anthony DeFontis,
right.
To Pasa Gallagher, you know.
Yeah, the usual suspects.
Exactly. And then in 85,
right.
Harry Fregala still had the studio on Johnson Street.
Right.
And it was going defunct. And I said, before it goes defunct, you know, I met a lot of people and I wanted to put together a doo-wop club.
Hey, listen. Really and truly, Frank, you
yeah.
have to understand what's going on. This is a very important interview because you are giving me the history of doo-wop in Southern Florida for the last 25 or 30 years.
Just about.
So there you go.
Just about. But I said to Larry, you know, I want to come in the studio like maybe once a week, you know, Tuesday night.
Right.
Pizza and beer. And he goes, well, I'm going to have to come and open it up. I says, I'll tell you what. I said, I'll give you $5 an hour.
Right.
And he goes, I'll take it.
Oh, cool, man.
And the first guys to come in, it was through word of mouth, Tommy Moran, and Tommy was a cop Miami Beach.
Right.
Buddy Eddie Santiago.
He okay, was, I remember, I know Eddie.
So the both of them showed up that night. Don't know us.
Right.
But I just put out an open, I think it was on, well, I went on all three stations. I went on Stu Goldstein,
right.
Bob Pianca, and Kenny Hell to put out an open audition. Anybody wants to sing, come to, you know, 2700 Johnson Street to the studio, Tuesday night, 7 o'clock, you know, pizza and beer and singing.
Right.
So, who shows up? Tommy, Eddie. Now, naturally, Ernie Sutton, Nicky and the Knacks.
Right. Oh, listen, they were on Relic with us.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Chuck Epstein, the original bass of Tony Allen Baby.
Gotcha.
Chuck shows up. All by word of mouth. Bob Pianca, because Bob Pianca likes to sing, he showed up. his cousin showed up, because Bob Pianca had a three-piece group. His brother, I think his brother and his cousin, they right. recorded a song years ago.
Right.
So his cousin showed up. Gallagher showed up.
Right.
Neary showed up. Dave Harding showed up. A bunch of other guys, I didn't even, there was about 25 of us. Charlie Notarbartolo from the Casual Air showed up. Bruce Goldie's not here yet.
Right.
Dave Strum is not here yet.
Right.
And then all of a sudden it's like, who's singing? It's like cat calls, you know, you're having fun, goofing, drinking.
Right.
And I'm looking at Charlie, and Charlie's looking at me and says, we got to narrow this down.
Right, I hear you.
And after a couple of weeks, we narrowed it down, and we're going to rehearse at Charlie's house. So I have a picture, the original five boroughs.
Uh-huh.
Dave Harding of Reunion, Ernie Sudden and Nicky and the Knacks, Tommy Moran, Eddie Santiago, Charlie Notarbartolo, and myself.
So there really were five at the beginning.
Yes.
Good.
Yes, and actually Tommy Moran is the one that actually made the name.
Yeah.
When we were coming out of the studio that night, I went, there was like 25 guys, so I went to the five guys.
Right.
But I didn't go to Ernie Sudden as of yet.
Yeah.
It was Tommy, Eddie, Dave, Charlie, and myself. And as we're walking out the door, I had asked each individual guy, do they want to sing?
Mm-hmm.
Why the sixth member came, because Ernie Sudden was the only guy who can play guitar.
Right.
So I wanted the guitar player so we can sing on key. And as we're walking out the door, and I says, you know, let's put the five guys together. And Eddie says, what are we going to call ourselves? And Tommy says, let's call ourselves the Five Boroughs. Charlie was from Manhattan.
Right.
I was from Brooklyn.
Cool.
Tommy was from the Bronx.
Mm-hmm.
Eddie was from the Bronx.
Hmm.
Charlie was from Staten Island.
Cool.
And Dave was from Queens. So we were actually the five boroughs.
Wow.
And we started the group, and I brought in Ernie.
Right.
Help us out. And then that group emerged into, I don't know, there must have been about 35 friggin' boroughs.
Right. No, I do remember that. And now Tommy, I like Tommy. Tommy's got some good chops, and he's a good guy.
The boroughs, I mean, we started out, and then in 86, Bruce Goldie came down.
Right.
And he was with the Dreamers out of Connecticut.
Yeah, he was a sweetheart, Bruce.
Bruce was my brother.
Right.
And Bruce came in. Actually, he took, Eddie Santiago left the group, and Anthony DeFontis took his place.
Gotcha.
And then Anthony was with us. Then Anthony left. And then Bruce Goldie showed up, went into Serato Roldi, same thing.
Right.
He told them, he gave him Dave Strum's number. Dave says, well, I don't sing, but call the five boroughs.
Right.
And then he showed up to rehearsal, and he says, "This, you know, I want to sing with the group, because now we're singing street, that's what he wants. You know,
right.
He didn't want to do nothing else.
Right.
And he says, the only commitment I have to make is I have to go back to New York. We're finishing our album as the Dreamers.
Right.
And I says, no problem. Go do it.
So pretty much what I expected is that, you know, the five boroughs were pretty much the hub of things down here.
Yeah, we were.
Right. And this I knew even up there, you know, because people would come and go. As a matter of fact, when I came down, you actually said to me, you know, I remember, quote, you said, so when you come down, you'll be a borough, you know.
Yeah,
learn some tunes and you'll, you know. See, when I came down, I had just lost my brother, my mother, and my father. Going through a divorce, you know, my brother died of AIDS. My mother died of hep C. My father died of cancer. And it was like bang, 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 three eulogies in a row. Then I quit my job as a dean. Then I went through a divorce. When I came down, I was wounded when I finally moved down. And then George called me and said, you want to join? I remember you, I'd spoken to you, and then I had spoken to Frankie, you know, from the Legends, Frank Mancuso, because we know each other from way back on the island.
Right.
And he said, and I said, I don't feel like singing anymore. It's like, you know, right, I got to heal first. And then George called me up. We had a rehearsal. It was Lenny Cintron, Shelley Brill, George, and myself. Rita comes and says to Lenny one day and takes him by the ear and says, I don't want you singing anymore because you're spending too much time doing this. So he left. Then Shelley and I kind of...
Same thing with Lenny was a burrow.
And Shelley and I hashed it out, whatever. So then we had a long stream of guys coming over the house and auditioning. And it was like a conga line. Ray Sanchez came over, you know, long line of guys. And then finally, you know, somebody mentioned Joe Neary's name, and I says, hey, Joe and I are like, you know, Mishbuka, as I say. I says, I know him since we're kids. And he came over, and he says, yeah, let's do this. You know, I think one of the reasons that he actually stayed was because of me. So we did it. And then, of course, when Shelley quit, then there was a long line of about, there was me, George, and Joey, and then a long line of fourth guys.
Yeah, you had Joel Starr.
Joel and Franco Caprioli, and you know, we can all go through it, but you want to know something? Ring the bell. Each one of them paid their dues and was a mystic, so the point is...
Exactly.
I go back, do you know that when I started Harmony Street, Frank Pianegro called me up and wanted me to come to Brooklyn to be a firefly. And that's way back. And I said, no, I'm starting this group called Harmony Street. So the five boroughs become an entity, and all of a sudden you're sailing and you got more work than you can handle, and you're sending out, groups of five boroughs, the A group, the B group, the C group.
We were recording so much, I didn't even know what the hell we were recording anymore. I mean, we had product after product. Our best shot was when we got with the Collectible Records.
Right.
On you.
No, they're wonderful people. I like them a lot. So, and then, of course, there's the Eddie Pardocci connection, and that was, then you guys had double the work.
Well, Eddie was coming. Eddie was always a cameo singer. He was always coming down. And, you know, the Burroughs, a lot of our work throughout the years was we were the backup singers for Dion.
Right.
Carlo of the Belmonts.
Right.
Rudy West of the Five Keys.
Right.
Jimmy Beaumont of the Skyliners. The Three Friends, Joey Villa.
Right.
I mean, every show that they put on, they brought these guys and Lynn Barry,
Right.
Get the Burroughs. Every time someone went on a radio station with Kenny, get the Burroughs.
Well, so it was right. You had the chops and you knew all the tunes.
You knew the songs, John Cusack of the Excellence. And that's when I started to get with the producers. And I says, you know, you can't afford to bring down five acts with 25 guys with 25 rooms and 25 airfares. And we'll back them all up. So we became the backup group for many years. And Pookie Hudson and the Spaniards. And we're backing up great, great people.
Right.
We went out, then we started to go to California, then we went on the road.
Right.
And that was the big thing. We went to West Mifflin. Everything mushroomed. It was just like, all of a sudden, wow, you know, and we're recording like crazy. We're putting out songs. We're on different labels. You know, we were kids and we were sitting in the New York Paramount and the Fox.
Oh, me too.
Watching all these acts. And whoever thought, or like they say, whoever thunk, that I would be up on the stage with those very same...
Oh, is that not the biggest thrill? I feel the same way. It's like, be still my heart, you know?
I would go over to every act that I sang, the Channels, the Charms, and I just go over and say, thank you.
Right. Oh, absolutely.
Thank you for allowing me to watch you
absolutely
25 years ago, and now I'm on the stage with you, you know?
We're
and the friendships that we made with the Capris and all, you know, the Chimes and all the groups and...
What's tough is, you know, I know that you've lost a couple of people that sang with you for many, many years, and that's tough because that's like losing part of your family. You know,
Charlie's an original member.
Right.
And Charlie passed away.
Right,
and then,
I know.
And then Bruce came in 86.
Right.
The group in 85.
Well, that's a lifetime, you know.
You know, and me and Bruce were like brothers. And, you know, he went and, you know, people come, people go for certain reasons, and who leaves. Brian Chavon left, you know, Anthony DeFontis left. Frankie Pianegro was a burro for 6 months.
Right.
Dave Strum.
I'd be remiss if I didn't say, you know, how many songs you sang with Spanky and Dino, and that's still like, in my mind, that's probably one of the most solid triads in the business, is you, Spanky and Dino.
I hung out with them for years.
Of course. Some of my really great moments was hanging out at Dino Pete's and eating spaghetti in Vienna, because that place had an energy and a mystique about it that,
without a doubt, it was a great place to hang out.
Beyond compare.
The entertainment was great. There's no egos, and we brought everyone on stage.
Exactly, and everybody, you could go in there. I remember one time Dion's sister came in, you know, and we were singing to her, and Joey D would come in, and Dion would start. Anybody who was anybody, Luther Dixon would sit at the bar. Here's a guy that wrote, 30 hits.
And he would just
sit there and drink a beer, and I would say, that's Luther Dixon, and they'd say, what? And I would say, you know, 16 Candles, all the Shirelles tunes, and they would say to me, oh my God, you know, and I'd say, hey Luther, you know, how you doing? He was just glad to be there, man.
people would come there just to see who was going to show up, because every time we did a show, and everybody got up and jam, and the people, like, nobody wanted to leave. Well, I always say this, I've always closed a lot of the shows in the same way, and I always thank the DJs for playing our songs. I've always thanked the fans for coming out and listening to our songs and buying our stuff. And there was no greater feeling, you know, the boroughs are together now, it's going to be 29 years. And to me, that's the greatest feeling, because the people still want us. So we thank everybody, and I think we're carrying a legacy, including yourself, Mikey, because guys like you, you're allowing us and yourself to tell people it was there, it's still here, it's not going nowhere.
No, I agree.
So on behalf of the five boroughs, the Bob Knight Four, Just Friends, and my stint with the five discs, we all thank everybody, and we all thank guys like you and all the DJs for keeping us alive. And from the bottom of my heart, we love you all. Thank you. All right, Mike. Thank you, buddy.
Hey, more than anything else, all right? Feel well and be safe, all right?
Okay. Really appreciate it.
Bye, good night. You too. Bye.
Harlem, a red rose up in Spanish Harlem. Boom, boom, boom. It is a special one. It's never seen the sun. It only comes up when the moon is on the run and all the stars are gleaming. Boom, boom, boom. It's growing in the street, rattling through the concrete, so soft and sweet.
Now I have counted every day since you've been away, and it seems like a thousand years. And at na 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 na, late at night, na 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 na, late at night, oh, I sit and count the tears. Oh, I sit and count the tears.
since you're gone.
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 Since you're gone, I spend each lonely night dealing out the cards from left to right. And the Queen of Hearts is there to remind me that I'm all alone and plaguing solitaire.
Since you're gone.
Since you're gone.
Since you're gone.
Since you're gone.
Love was just another game for two. I feel now that's all it meant to you. But my heart got lost somewhere in the shuffle. Now I'm all alone and plaguing solitaire.
You play to win, but you're playing
a game with no rules. More sleep or fools. Now the joker has the laugh on me, 'cause I played my hand so carelessly. Anytime you want to share that old feeling, I'll be dealing time away with solitaire.
Darling, our love will be true, always and forever. I'll love just you. Just promise me, darling, your love in return. May this fire in my soul, dear, forever burn. My heart's at your command, dear, to keep love and to hold. Making you happy, my desire, dear. Keeping you here is my goal. I'll forever love you the rest of my day. I'll never part from you in your loving way. My heart's at your command, dear, making you happy, my desire, dear. Keeping you here is my goal. I'll forever love you the rest of my days. I'll never part from you in your loving way.
Does she love me? It's too soon to know. Can I believe her when she tells me so? Is she fooling? Is it all the game? Am I the fire? Or just another flame?
Mike Miller, like to say goodbye from Harmony Street.